Welcome to I'm Absolutely Fine, the podcast from The Midult that looks at all the glamour and indignity of being a grown-up. Hi everyone, I'm Annabelle and I'm absolutely fine, but here's some exciting news. I'm just at the tail end of my first ever brush with cystitis.
My God,
it's weird. It's such a weird and unpleasant feeling. If you Google the symptoms, it leads to all sorts of other strange and interesting ailments. But anyway, the reason I'm telling you this is because it's really triggered an overshare in me. And I've been telling everybody, people have just said, you know, oh, hi, how are you? And it's a work meeting. I've gone, well, yeah, I've got cystitis.
I love the fact that you're just telling captains of industry that you, you know, I've got cystitis.
They don't tend to be the sort of people I have work meetings with, but I certainly would. Telling the women, and the women, the outpouring of empathy and sisterhood. Oh my God, poor you. And then sharing all their different remedies. But what I did discover yesterday morning when I realised that this awful, twisty, strange, needing to pee but being unable to pee feeling wasn't going anywhere, was that I discovered Boots Online Doctor, because I just thought, okay, I don't want this going to my kidneys or doing whatever sinister shit cystitis does. So I also can't be bothered to try and get on the, phone queue for the NHS doctor at 8 a.m. when they open, hang around for 40 minutes, get cut off, get told there are no appointments, get told I've got to do it online, then get told my online login doesn't work but they can't get. And just, you know, I would have just, the stress would have been worse than the cystitis. So I logged on to Boots Online Doctor and I listed my symptoms and they wrote back and said, right, we'll get a doctor to review it. And an hour later, there was a prescription for an antibiotic waiting for me at my local Boots, which I then picked up with no, rushed off in my lunch break, picked it up with no fuss at all, 23 quid. And it's worked in 24 hours.
There's so much amazingness. One, that it's like that it'd be cured so quickly, but two, that you can actually access a service that's efficient and will deliver the result that you're looking for.
Not infuriating. So every cloud.
Unlike me on the phone the other day to try and get a repeat prescription, which took, what was it, 27 minutes?
You are
number one position. I was like, oh my God, for how long?
I know, you were number one position for about 18 minutes. Whoever was in front of you had a lot to say.
Oh my goodness. Anyway, hi, I'm Emily. I'm absolutely fine, but it turns out I don't like chewing.
It really does.
We have discovered this by a process of elimination. First of all, it started long, long ago when I'm banned from eating yogurt in my house because the noise that I make, the kind of old lady noise that I make, and I can't sort of...
It's a proper sort of masticating noise. Yes. And I thought, you told me that, and I thought, how mean that she's not allowed to eat yogurt in her own house. Until...
One day I was eating yogurt and Annabelle was like...
Ooh. No, it was raspberries.
No, but the raspberries is a subsequent... Because you said, oh, I can see why you've been banned from yogurt in the house because I was eating yogurt. Anyway, lately we have discovered that also annoying is the way that I eat raspberries because I don't chew them, I sort of mulch them.
The only way I can find to describe them is to say that you mulch your food. And I said, oh my God, why are you mulching those raspberries?
And I was thinking about all the other ways, and I do actually have since been observing, and I don't like biting into things. I like to kind of clamp it down and kind of...
You know. Don't like chewing.
No, so I don't like chewing.
You like to mulch and suck.
And I think it must be back in the days when I had really bad... Do you remember I went through a really bad period of having like root canals and like awful teeth? And I just don't like kind of excess contact with my teeth.
You had a kind of Les Mis tooth extraction.
Yes. I did.
Like knee on the chest, pull your teeth out.
Yeah, and also pull yourself together kind of like vibe.
Oh, dear.
God.
I mean, don't worry about the mulching because I just think that...
No, but it's just fucking weird though, isn't it? Someone doesn't like to chew.
Well, I say don't worry about mulching, but please don't do it in front of me. But yeah. Yes, I mean, yes, it's weird, but I mean... We're all fucking weird at the moment. Don't you find you're constantly thinking to yourself, is it just me or are we all truly weird at the moment? I think we chew on that.
Yeah.
It's the question that feeds our own internal parasite of loneliness. Is it just me? Is it just me? Is it just me? But particularly at the moment, at the sort of sharp end of 2023, look around because it's never just you. Think about all those years we spent trying to fit in or maybe... cultivate our own unique stylized brand of oddity. I mean, what a waste of time. The energy that we threw away wondering if we were lovable enough. And all those boxes, you know, children of the 90s or whatever, teenagers of the 90s, and we thought that we had to be professional, ambitious, presentable. But here we are, and we are genuinely weirder than ever before. So when you find yourself asking that question, is it just me? Just know it's not just you. It's never just you.
I know. Do you remember you just want to be normal? Like, please, please, please. Or please don't let them notice how weird I am. And now it's like, I am just fully weird.
Yeah.
And we all have these tics and pulses of weirdness, don't we?
Yeah, we assume they're just our very own, but we've all got them. So, because we were feeling so strange, because our behaviour was getting quite odd, we did some research over Instagram, and it turns out that the intersections in the Venn diagram of weirdness are reassuringly, healthily populated. The first thing we discovered is that talking to ourselves is way up there, right? You know, from narrating the tale of our own imminent and tragic demise, I mean, more of that later, to just saying what we see, right, Em?
Yeah, like church, cow, bus, horses.
Yeah, reading road signs aloud. Or reading, I often read shop signs aloud to myself, because we are, after all, always looking for signs. Universe, send me a sign. So that feels quite normal. But then a lot of you talk to us about your earworm territory. One of you, Mimi Ha Ha He is her handle, has had Believe by Cher on a loop in her head for many years. And others, including you, I think, Em, are sort of stuck in the quicksand of childhood advert jingles.
So if I hear the word club in any context, like any context, it is like as in she was clubbed to death or whatever, or let's go to a club. I always go, if you like a lot of chocolate on your biscuit, join our club. Automatic reflex.
Yeah, because we are outwardly weird these days rather than secretly weird, presumably you actually sing it.
Like I just did, yeah.
Yeah, because there's a lot of thinking and singing out loud. I wonder why, and I wonder if it could be that the world feels so fractured and we feel so kind of disenfranchised that we have to make a noise to reassure ourselves of our very existence, you know, for fear that we might otherwise just cease to be.
So when we're saying church, cow, pub, horses, yes, it's almost like a sort of validation. It's like a sort of existential, like, creed occur.
Exactly that. I mean, I love this existential creed occur. This came on Instagram via Shalene Smith Peterson Church. Every day on her walk to work, she sings out loud the Grand Old Duke of York, which I think is excellent because it's so rousing and it leads you to believe it's accompanied by marching, and it's fantastically infantile, and I might try it.
There was also Nathan James Page, who is so desperate for connection that they visualise every inanimate object they see with googly cartoon eyes. Like, hello, Mr. Postbox.
Yes, and Nanny Ma 21 on Instagram echoed that sentiment because she said faces, faces everywhere. And I love it. It's, you know, this sort of cheerful weirdness. You know, she's saying light switches, doorknobs, cheese graters. Wonderfully, wonderfully, cheerfully weird, except it did turn a bit sinister when she continued, always watching.
And our old friend Maria Dublin, who's clearly some kind of scientific genius, see, she enlightened us by saying that this is actually a syndrome called, and I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right, pareidolia.
And she sees the faces too, doesn't she?
But I think it is a sign of anxiety when you see faces everywhere. I see faces in wallpaper.
Yeah, do you?
Yeah, and curtains, you know, pattern curtains. You're like, oh, look, hello.
Yeah, I see faces in and clouds marble. And trees and things.
Okay.
Yes, marble. Marble's the gift that keeps on giving. Like marble, if you have a posh enough to have a marble bathroom, that could drive you truly nuts, right? There's a lot at the moment of, so there's the out loud talking, singing and seeing faces. And then there's the staring.
Yes, a kind of internalised weirdness.
Yeah, people have been talking about how much staring they're doing or seeing. Maybe they're staring to the middle distance. Maybe they're staring at the wall. You know, you might have noticed people, I've noticed this, and someone said this on Instagram, people just gazing at things in shops, not even touching them, not picking them up and putting them down, just staring at them. And I mean, clearly they could just be paralysed by the astonishing cost of everything right now. But they could also have just left their brains for a minute. Like a tiny, very desperately needed holiday, except it's happening in Tesco.
That great holiday destination that we all know and love. You know, there was one that I loved of all the weirdnesses, which was a way of tackling insomnia. And this is from Gail, who says, when I have insomnia, I visualise myself lying in a cave with a pack of wolves who all keep watch while I rest all warm next to their soft fur.
Yeah.
And crucially, she continues, the visualization features no humans. It's good.
I mean, that suggests to me that we are at a time in our lives when wolves are less threatening than other people.
But I've been trying that ever since Gail posted on our Instagram that this is, and it is incredibly soothing.
You're finding it
very
cozy.
Primal, and must be sort of, you know, back to kind of Neolithic times. Not that we were sleeping with wolves, but
when was it the 70s or 80s when there was a book Women Running with Wolves, and yes. Now it's not, it's just sleeping with wolves.
Exactly. It isn't dancing with wolves, guys, it's lying down with wolves.
Yes.
This is where we are.
And then there are weird little sort of refreshing neural pathways exercises that you told us about. There was one person called I Am Leanne who reads words backwards out loud all the time, which I think probably is quite good for your neural pathways.
Yes, it's probably one of those, like, forget Sudoku,
yeah.
Just read
backwards. All the shit you have to read backwards.
Happy exit. Or there's Naomi Bandera who spells things in the air with her foot, which I think, again, is probably quite a good, like, sort of focus and not flexibility. What's the word I'm looking for? But anyway.
Oh, neuroplasticity.
Neuroplasticity. But dexterity as
well.
Very
good for your core.
Very good for your
wiggling
core.
Wiggling your toe around at all times.
Excellent. And sort of mentally nimble and physically nimble.
But
there.
Talking of physically nimble, I was delighted. This is maybe our favourite to hear from Camilla Elwes. I mean, I'm just picturing Camilla Elwes, who says, I go upstairs on all fours.
I mean,
was all she said. I'm a bit scared to try it because I really think it sounds addictive. And I think if I started crawling up the stairs on all fours, I would never go up the stairs any other way ever again.
It's like being a kind of, like, it's unleashing your inner Labrador, isn't it?
It's unleashing your inner weirdo. Because, you know, think about it. I think maybe with all of us, our inner weirdo is bursting to be set free. She is the you who doesn't care what people think of you. You know, your inner weirdo is the freak inside you who thinks it's okay to be you. You know, who finds it amusing when you're a bit of a dick rather than so mortifying that you're still worrying about it 4 a.m. 25 years later. Who doesn't really do social humiliation. Who has a sort of slightly strange take on things and nudges you to say it out loud. You know, it's like she's the bit of you, the facet of your character that has freely evolved away from all the expectations, like a work of art.
Yeah.
So it's like she's sort of been somehow immune to, you know, your terrible father or, you know, any childhood traumas or the fear residue of the heartbreaks. You know, she's fresh and unfettered. You don't need to look after her. You don't need to sort of nurture her like your inner child, your inner orphan. And it's none of that speak. It's like she's free from therapy because she can look after her damn self, you know? Yeah. She's the part of you that will always be okay. You don't need to worry about her. You can just unleash her on the world now and again to show some true you colours. And, you know, if you look at our forensic Instagram research, you can see that we're all at it. So your lovely inner weirdo is going to fit right in. I mean, we're doing some quite peculiar stuff at the moment. The talking out loud stuff, the storytelling stuff.
So I've long been a narrator, sort of inner monologue kind of thing. So when I used to swim lengths, for example, I would hear Claire Balding narrating in my head. You know,
definitely kind of, Claire Balding.
Definitely Claire Balding, basically like an Olympian, and she'd be like, oh, look at the triumph of the human body in the aquatic environment. And we're not even fish, would exclaim Claire. Now, though, when I get into the car or go down the street or get out of bed, whatever, I immediately start narrating my own demise.
Of course you do.
Obviously, Carrie Bradshaw voiceover.
Out loud?
Out loud. And it was like, if let's say the example is I'm saying to someone in the house, I'm just popping out for some lentils. That is reframed as soon as I close the door to, it was an icy Tuesday when she died. The last word they heard from her was lentils. The black ice was the last thing she saw. I mean, obviously, I don't know what black ice looked like.
Which is why you died, right?
Clearly, didn't yes. know to avoid it.
Did the bright moon shed a tear as the enormous truck mounted? So good, mounted. That could have been written by Harry or his ghostwriter. As the enormous truck mounted the pavement and killed me instantly?
Exactly.
That kind of thing?
Exactly. I think it's good. I feel like there's something about the way that life feels incredibly sort of precious and precarious at the moment that necessitates a kind of second thinking about what you are doing, just in case.
Well, the idea that thinking it is going to protect you from it happening.
Yes.
Yeah.
So you've insured yourself
yeah.
somehow.
Yeah. Yeah. Weird insurance.
Yes.
Yeah. Weird insurance. This is an advertisement from BetterHelp Therapy Online.
Okay, serious question. How many times have you been out recently? Actually, you know, scratch that. How many times have you woken up the day you were supposed to go out and felt flooded with dread? How long have you spent praying that the other person will cancel so you don't have to?
And yet, just as we're avoiding people, so many of us feel really lonely and more tired than ever, particularly now the days are getting a bit longer and you think, how am I going to have the energy to go out into the world?
Our social batteries are very flat at the moment, and that can make us feel isolated, which can lead to trouble. And in my experience, therapy has helped me track my best energy sources and helped me better identify what leaves me feeling depleted.
So if you're thinking of starting therapy, why not give BetterHelp a try?
It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a registered therapist and switch anytime for no additional charge.
With over 1,000 therapists in the UK already, BetterHelp can provide access to mental health professionals with a wide variety of expertise.
Listeners get 10% off their first month at betterhelp.com/midult. That's better, HELP.com/midult.
BetterHelp, because sometimes the best thing to do is acknowledge that we are not, in fact, absolutely fine.
I could do with a basket that I would hold whilst wandering around my house foraging for stuff.
You're like a hobbit in your own home.
Well, it's too cold and expensive to leave the house.
It is so expensive to leave the house.
Yeah.
Like a joke.
Yeah, I mean, the world's gone financially feral. So going out for a walk, right?
Yes.
What does that cost you?
Well, obviously, like £3.60 in an oat flat white.
Yeah.
We were out the other day and I bought a £4.30 pistachio croissant. I'm so ashamed.
And I go for a free walk in the park that costs me £8 in parking.
I mean, yeah.
So it's very imperative that we forage within our houses, just truffling about, picking up bits of food and clothing and strange things at the bottom of drawers and then making a mess and staring at them or eating them and then moving them and maybe Googling them. I was Googling last night, recipe out-of-date tinned duck confit.
I'm also, because I can only find certain things, I might spend my whole life Googling alternative too. It's like, because you can only find one thing that's almost like it. So is chili flakes a good alternative substitute for red pepper flakes?
Yes.
Will
an onion do what a shallot does?
Exactly. What happens if you don't have plain flour, you only have self-raising flour?
Yeah, I haven't got any parmesan, but I've got some ready grated cheddar.
Exactly. I know. That's
nothing must go to waste.
Nothing.
Shuffling around, shuffling like a hobbit.
Yeah. And also forget 2022's clarion call to shop from your own wardrobe. 2023 is about turning your home into an unbelievably shit car boot sale.
Yeah. And you're the only customer, right?
Oh, my God. I tell you the other thing is my fantasies.
Oh, go on.
Well, don't get excited.
I know. I'm not really excited because
really
I kind of know
exciting.
What's coming.
So do you remember having a rich internal life that basically revolved around, you know, winning the lottery and buying Sicily and hanging out with Jennifer Coolidge or having very hot sex with Tom Hardy? Well, these days, my fantasies are basically very intricate storytelling out loud that hits a completely different note.
Yes, you have one particular dream, don't you?
Okay, so picture the scene. I bump into Alistair Campbell.
And then have incredibly hot sex.
Nope.
No.
At the Parliament Hill Lido.
Okay, it's already getting boring.
So regular listeners will know where I'm going with this. He immediately sees that I'm a fellow cold water bore / soulmate, and he suggests that we go for a dip whilst talking about politics. And we swim for ages, you know, miraculously not developing hypothermia.
It's the thing about fantasy.
And discuss, you know, what might shore-proof Keir Starmer's electability. And, yeah.
But, you know, you and Alistair would be old pros, wouldn't you? You know, tough on politics and tough on your immune systems.
Yeah, and we stumble on a solution.
Really? So you've got the answer for Sir Keir?
Yeah, it was fate.
Your fantasy was fate.
There you go.
I've entered a weird phase where I believe that everything is because of the angels. And I know I sound quite hard-nosed and miserable, and I am. But seeing as we're talking about fate, it was fate that you bumped into Alistair and discovered a solution for, you know, Sir Keir's, you know, election nobility or whatever.
Whilst cold water swimming.
Whilst cold water swimming. Jesus, the relentlessness of your cold water swimming. How was the weekend? Well, I went swimming. It was 2 degrees. I mean, I'm obviously clinging to my sanity by a gossamer thin thread. So every time something difficult happens, I blame myself, of course. We all do, right? I'm an idiot. I'm a fool. It's always me. But maybe the only thing keeping me going is the idea that every time something good happens, it's thanks to the angels. Yep. The angels. Parking angels.
She has started talking to angels.
Yeah, yeah, it's true. So when I'm late for a meeting and I can't find a parking space because it's quite hard to get me out of my car, I do like to drive to places, and I'm in a fury and I'm in a sweat. If I take a break for a second, take a deep breath and say, please help me, parking angels, invariably, they do.
And I, honestly, the other day, and I can't remember what it was, but I said to you, oh, this amazing thing happened. And you just looked at me dead in the eye and you went, it was the angels.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, yeah, this yeah, is where we are
yeah,
now.
It's happening.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, please help me find my favourite bra, angels, when I'm rushing out of the house. Talking to the angels is a nice way to live.
Do you know what else is another nice way to live? Which is completely new to me. Now, I used to be one of those people when if you sent me a video of an animal doing something cute, I'd be like, oh, whatever.
Yes, because you never really reacted to my panda videos that I'm so devoted to.
You're totally devoted. And I'd make all the appropriate noises and really hope that nobody could see into my soul, right?
Which was flinty and cold. Everyone knows you have a flinty, cold soul. They can all tell.
But I feel like it sort of exposed this sort of like no more Miss Nice Guy side to me that I wasn't sort of mad about the animals apart from my dog. Anyway, dog bore. But then the other day on my Instagram feed was this footage of a baby chimpanzee having a bath, and it did something to me. Like, seriously, and now, honestly, my Instagram feed is 99% animals.
Do you think that we're trying to sort of suck endorphins through a screen by perving at tiny creatures?
Yes, it's like these, it's so extraordinary.
Pandas, micro kittens.
Honestly, baby porcupines.
Jesus.
Super cute. I don't like the otters.
The hits just keep coming. You've got to think about otters. What is it about? You think they're rapey, don't you?
No, they're rapey and they're paedophiles.
What, they rape each other and they rape their babies?
No, they're necrophiliacs, sorry.
Oh, God. Okay, yes. Oh, my God.
Yes, exactly. Otters are terrible.
They're very, very fiercely protected.
Well, I'm just saying, I like all the cute animals except for the otters.
Do you think there's a German word for except for the otters?
I love all the German words.
I know. The Germans were really good at this shit, at finding words to say the virtually unsayable, weren't they?
Yeah, exactly. Like, well,
wouldn't it be helpful if we always had a useful word or phrase in German on the tip of our tongues? To describe, like, the subtleties and nuances of all this madness and weirdness.
Yeah, like, Weltschmerz, which is that...
Is that real?
Yes.
What's it mean?
That world weariness sensation.
Ah, Weltschmerz.
Yeah.
Okay.
And there's another really good one as well, which is, geh mit Gott, aber geh, which means, go with God, but just go.
Oh, that's like imploring, isn't it? For God's sake, just go.
Just please, God, go.
Show me that. Geh mit Gott, aber geh. It's for when we want to be left alone.
So it means
alone.
Go safely, like go with God. Like, you know, we approve that you're leaving, but make sure you fucking go.
Yeah, 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 as long as you're gone.
It's a really good one. And then obviously, you know, our personal favourite, right? Which is Walden Weirdo Schnitzel.
Which means, presumably, unleash your inner weirdo.
How did you know?
Well, I think regular German speakers will know that this is not a real compound word. Is it weird that we actually were moved to make up German compound words? Who cares?
Who cares?
Who cares? All these flavours of weirdness. Maybe for some of our weirdnesses, we could do with a bit more support. We could come together with like-minded weirdos to seek solace in a support group.
Yeah, you know? But there's a never-ending amounts of conditions that we need support groups for.
Yeah, the things that make you feel alone.
Yes. How about a support group for people who can't make plans in advance but also think spontaneous or last-minute plans are a bit of an outrage?
Yes, I have a stress test for that, which is never put anything in your diary that you wouldn't want to do tonight.
Such good advice.
Because even if someone says, come and see Madonna, you think, yay, in October or whenever it is.
Okay, which, by the way, anybody who wants to take Annabelle and I to Madonna in October, yes, please.
That would be fine, sold out, £600 for the sort of worst ticket. But
yay, go girl.
But even though you think, you know, oh, it's October, would you want to go to the O2, presumably it's at, or wherever, to see Madonna tonight?
Yes.
Oh, I don't know if I would.
I mean, actually, spontaneity makes me feel completely like that. As said, at the moment I said it, it sent some terrible signal to my brain and I started having a panic. I'm now really hot.
Well, I think that might be because, I think one of the reasons that spontaneity is off the table is because you had a panic because you just said yes to the idea of something. And we have still a very muscular no reflex that's hanging around since lockdown. You remember when we came out of lockdown and the idea of some people just sailed out into the world ready, you know, hungry to embrace it all. And a lot of us were still nervy about whether we had regained our capacity to do stuff. So you say yes to something, you do something spontaneous, then you have to deal with the idea of disrupting a very delicate balance.
Yeah. And, you know, for me as well, it's that calm that descends around 5 p.m. when you know it's, you know, clear blue water between you and your bed. Apart from, obviously, all the shit.
Yep, laundry, bills, I mean, you know, late-night emails.
Also, the fact that I say, yes, I'd go to Madonna at the O2 tonight is hilarious, given the unbelievably boring planning routine conversation we had this morning.
We had a conversation this morning. Emily described her... I did ask. To be fair to me, I was, in this case, she was asking for
you
it,
were
listeners.
Probing.
I was probing, because I was asking her about cold showers and hair washing, sorry. But she actually has all this mapped out. So tell me, what's your hair washing / shower weekly sort of diary?
So Monday, I have a warm shower and I wash my hair.
You have a warm shower because you wash your
exactly.
hair.
Exactly. Right, okay. And I wash my hair on Mondays
and
Thursdays.
So your self-flagellation doesn't actually stretch to cold hair washing yet?
I'm not quite at cold hair washing yet.
So. It's only a matter of time.
I don't know if I will be able to manage it. I'll try. I'll tell you and
please
I'll report back.
Try. So Monday is a warm shower hair wash.
Exactly. Tuesday, Wednesday are cold showers because I'm not washing my hair. Thursday, I go into another office and so I wash my hair out of politeness and I have a warm shower. Friday is a cold shower. Right. And then Saturday and Sunday are warm baths.
You're allowed baths at the weekend.
Yes.
I mean, it is depressing, but I also completely understand. The fewer surprises, the better, right?
So depressing to think that, you know, I mean, I'm not sure I was ever a girl who flew to New York at the weekend on a whim, but the idea that that would interfere with my cold water bath schedule is just too much.
Well, does it never ever cross your mind on, let's say, a Tuesday night after a really difficult day, then it might be nice to have a bath?
Yes, very occasionally, but mostly it's not like you with your
You're
three
not,
baths a day.
I do not have three baths a day. Not anymore, not since the price of heating and water's gone up.
No, obviously. And even if I did want to have a bath, I feel like it would sort of disrupt my plan for the evening. And I think I'm just too controlling at this stage.
I mean, I completely, completely and so passionately understand because I'm now so determined not to be disrupted in the evening that I put my phone on aeroplane mode. I don't want any more information, any more stimulation. I don't want to be available. I just feel like I'm closed for business and I find it really soothing to know that the phone can't ring. It's like I've entered my do not disturb era.
There you are. Actually, you can see it sometimes when you don't want to be deviated from what you're doing with working. You do kind of get a kind of physical do not disturb vibe.
Oh, that's cozy. Like, please don't approach her. She might get angry.
Well, no, but it's not hostile. It's just focused.
Mm.
Yes, so maybe we need a support group for people who are living with people who have Do Not Disturb on.
Yes, exactly. Like, it's not personal.
Exactly.
They just need a bit of time to regroup, to go inside themselves.
They're just focusing.
Yeah.
They're just... I mean, there must be infinite things that we need support groups for.
Well, I mean, I know what you could do with the support group.
Oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God. Okay, here, literally, all right.
This is a day-to-day problem for you, isn't it?
I need a support group for people who still want to drive, but hate parking and will drive, I mean, to another postcode / like country in order to avoid parallel parking. Or, you know, is permanently saying things like, I can't possibly go there, where will I park? But yeah. I like to be in the car. I like to drive.
Well, you say that. The last time you drove me somewhere, you scream drove. You screamed with fear at your own driving while we drove.
Okay.
Yes, it was a while ago.
It was
it
was like when we were 28.
No,
we were
at least 32.
No, come on. That's still 17 years ago.
Just the other day.
Could be anything. Anyway, but I really, really hate parking and I hate myself for hating parking.
Don't hate yourself for hating parking.
I feel like it's pathetic.
It's a terrible reason to hate yourself.
Well, I mean, there is.
I mean, there are better reasons.
I feel like you're about to tell me.
No, I'm not.
I'm not. I don't think you should hate yourself for anything. I think you're perfect. I would like a support group for people who want to be a person who goes to the theatre, but just isn't a person who goes to the theatre.
You fucking went to the theatre!
Yeah, I fucking did. I went last week.
You saw the show that everybody is talking about.
Yeah, I saw the Liz Kingsman one-woman show, which was so funny and so brilliant and so rousing and so knowing, and also an hour and 10 minutes without an interval. But the trouble is, that's the only theatre I can see, really, is comedy or musicals. If I go and try and see proper theatre, like at the moment, oh, sensational, Paul Mescal in A Streetcar Named Desire. And as Emily just said, the 350-year-old woman just said, do we really need another Streetcar Named Desire? But
when that I see what I said.
It is. When I see a proper play, I find myself looking at the actors and think, I think, oh, come on, you're grown-ups.
That's so terrible. So they're going, oh, he shouldn't have got that haircut.
Oh dear, you know, and everyone else is standing up going, oh, bravo, bravo. And I'm thinking, oh dear, it's a bit embarrassing, all this sort of, you know, exclaiming. And anyway,
you're talking to the woman who left, like, Kevin Spacey. I know we're not supposed to talk about him, but anyway, Kevin Spacey's like seminal Richard at the Old Vic, but left halfway through because she's too tired.
I left Jerusalem after the first interval, and I think there were three intervals. Jerusalem was like the greatest play of all time, the original one, which was probably 10 years ago. I'd just been through a breakup and I could no way sit with my discomfort sitting in that theatre.
Anyway, oh, God, there we go. So there we go. But I'd like to be, I love the arts, I love reading plays, I love the idea of it, but...
Do you?
Yeah.
When did you last read a play?
Okay, well, I was 17.
For your A-levels,
the
right?
The other day.
Macbeth.
No, but I did go through a phase of reading all the Tennessee Williams plays. I just don't want to go and see Streetcar.
No, nor do I. I completely agree.
Oh, dear.
Do you fancy Paul Mescal?
I don't know. I did fancy him in Normal People, but I don't fancy him...
You don't fancy the idea of seeing him on the stage. No, I know what you mean.
I don't. I'm not sure I like his mullet. There you go. See, 70-year-old woman saying, look at his hair. Shouldn't have had that haircut.
Your husband, Chris, and I need a support group.
God.
Can you guess
See,
what it's
this
for?
This is an attack.
It is. It's an attack on your personality. Why do you think your husband, Chris, and I need to go together to a support group? What would that support group be for?
Is it anything to do with my propensity for leaving things open?
Leaving one thing in particular open.
For you, I think that is the major trigger.
I mean, she opens the fridge and then she walks around the kitchen and goes and has a conversation, answers her phone. The fridge is open. I can see the cold pouring out, the food going rotten, the electricity being wasted. And still she's talking and smiling and being marvellous. The fridge is open. Why, what about Chris?
Well, he just thinks that I leave all the cupboards. When I'm in the kitchen cooking, I leave everything open, like the dishwasher.
Why?
I just want to have access, easy access to things.
That's what you think. I think that you are angrier than you know. It's a really sort of slightly pathetic act of rebellion. I'll just leave this drawer a bit open because I'm not going to say what I really think. I'm just going to leave the drawer open.
This is a woman who has specific days to wash her hair. Maybe that's why I'm just raging against the machine, but yes, Secretly. So I'm taking it out on Chris in the cupboards. I'm so sorry. Okay.
Maybe you need an outlet that isn't cold water swimming.
No. You just don't want to hear me talking about it anymore. That's different. You need a support group for people who hang out with people who go cold water swimming.
What I actually need is a support group for people who get invitations to usually all women's birthday parties, maybe a big one, a 40th or a 50th. I've got one on Friday. And a text came through and it said, be prepared to say a few divine words.
Ooh.
A support group for people who are attending an event where they've been asked to be prepared to say a few words about the birthday person or the host. I don't know what to do. I'm really bad at that stuff. But I'm also scared of being the arsehole who says a flat no. I'm never scared of being the arsehole who says a flat no. But in this instance, I am.
I think you should pull something out of your bra. That will have a really
what,
good
like,
effect.
Like a white dove?
Like a speech. Oh, but like, here's something I prepared earlier.
Will you help me write it?
Yes, of course.
Okay. I'm in a bit of a panic, so we're going to go. Emily's going to help me write a few divine words. We'll let you know how it goes. And thank you so much for listening to all of our, you know, nonsense.
Yes, and stay weird, please. Thank you.
Yes, stay weird, beauties.
Okay, bye. You've been listening to Annabelle Rifkin and Emily McMeekin of The Mid-Alt.
Our book, I'm Absolutely Fine, is out now. If you like what you hear, please rate, review and subscribe.